An evening of lively, smart conversation and jazz. Join me, John Williams, for a live taping of the Mincing Rascals podcast, Robert's Pizza, and Jazz, Wednesday, June 12th, 6 to 8 at Winter's Jazz Club in Streeterville. Tickets at WGNRadio.com/rascals.
Matt Farley, the greatest songwriter ever, is the object of a piece in the New York Times Sunday Magazine, which I just thought was so interesting and strange. It's a story by a guy named Brett Martin. So Brett Martin is the writer. And let me tell you how he started his story about that guy, Matt Farley, who did that Chicago song. So the writer says, "I don't want to make this all about me, but have you heard the song Brett Martin, You're a Nice Guy, Yes? Probably not. On Spotify, Brett Martin, You're a Nice Guy, Yes, has not accumulated enough streams to even register a tally, despite an extensive number of plays in at least one household that I can personally confirm. Even I, the titular nice man, didn't hear the 1 minute 14 second song until last summer, a full 11 years after it was uploaded by an artist credited as Paparazzi and the Photogs. When I did stumble on Brett Martin, You're a Nice Man, Yes, I naturally assumed it was about a different, more famous Brett Martin, perhaps Brett Martin, the left-handed reliever, who until recently played for the Texas Rangers, or Brett Martin, the legendary Australian squash player, or even Clara Brett Martin, the Canadian who in 1897 became the British Empire's first female lawyer. Only when the singer began referencing details of stories that I had made public for public radio's This American Life almost 20 years ago did I realize it was actually about me. The song ended, I really like you. Will you be my friend? Will you call me on the phone? And then it gave a phone number with a New Hampshire area code. So Brett Martin called that guy, and he said, hey, it's me. And Matt Farley goes, who are you? I've done a lot of songs. I don't remember. At least that's the way the story begins. Hey, Matt Farley, you're on WGN Radio in Chicago. How are you?
Good. Yeah, it's a true story. I was running through my brain. I'm like, who's Brett Martin? Who's Brett Martin? But I couldn't place it.
It's funny that if you went to the effort to write a song about somebody, you would have sent him an email and said, dude, I'm writing a song about you, and he could have pushed it out there and gotten it more hits.
Well, I think it's more exciting for people to just stumble upon him.
So who are you? What are you doing there, Matt? Tell me about your songwriting and recording career.
I've always been a big fan of just recording a lot of music and writing a lot of music and not worrying about it. Just like churn it out. If you write 10 songs, maybe one of them will be good. But if you write one song, no more than one of them will be good. Over the course of doing that, I realized that there's like a people search weird words on Spotify, and that if I wrote songs about all the weird, unusual things people are searching, I could actually support myself.
Do you support yourself? How's this business proposition of yours working?
It's great, yeah. I've been full-time since 2017.
How many songs have you put out there?
25,000.
So in other words, if I was going to go to a graduation party, or if I was going to ask a girl to the prom, or if I'm in Chicago and it's foggy, I needed a song about fog or Chicago, I go to Spotify, I type in any of these random things, and lo and behold, you've probably made a song about it, however weird or specific, right?
Yes, yes. And it's funny, the city songs, clearly, like I'm reading off Wikipedia as I'm recording the vocals, and but I think that adds to the fun of it.
You're reading off of Wikipedia as you're recording the vocals.
Yeah, because I save time. You know, I don't have to write down the lyrics ahead of time. So I just scan the Wikipedia article and
start
and
going.
Essentially shout out things that I notice on it.
So it's not about the art of the song. It's about the volume of songs you can put out there.
Well, hey, easy. I mean, that song you played earlier, that was art.
Well, you actually have an interesting definition of that. I'm not being critical. I actually think I see what you're doing here, and that is if you get enough songs out there referencing enough things, enough people will find you, that you could make a living on it. The article references how much money you are able to make in a year. Can you share that with us? How profitable is all of this?
Yeah, well, I made $200,000 last year from online digital streaming royalties. And that means, you know, every time someone plays a song, I get probably a little less than half a penny.
So did we just send a half a cent your way for playing that on the radio?
I think so. There's a, like, you have to play like at least 30 seconds. I don't know if we made that quota, but
I'll help you out here in a little bit. If I don't play it on the radio, I'll play it in my office. But then that's the sort of rubric that they have there at Spotify. Sufficient number of plays equals sufficient amount of money. And even if you don't have a gigantic hit, if you just get enough hits in total, you can make a living at that, huh?
Yeah, that was my approach to it. You know, especially as just like, you know, just some guy living in the suburbs. I'm not like trying to get signed by a record company. And I was like, is there any way I can like, you know, get noticed from my little room here in Massachusetts? And that was the path I chose, you know, about 15 years ago. And there were definitely moments where I was like, what am I doing with my life? But it seems to be paying off.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, financially, for sure. But is it a frustration of yours, or is it a kind of daily chore to, because again, according to the New York Times, you're putting out about 50 songs a day. Does that sound about right?
No, that just on that particular day when I had spoken to him, I had done 50 the day before. The most I've ever done was I forced myself to do 200 songs a month for like 8 months until I cracked and lowered the quota. But, you know, anywhere from 50 to 100 songs a month is basically what I do.
If you didn't write another song ever again, you already have a kind of critical mass. It sounds like the money's going to come in just based on what you've put out there so far.
Yeah, I'm not going to test it, you know. I kind of like doing it for the most part. I mean, it's difficult at times, but like, even if you're just writing pure joyous songs for your own self, it's still like a difficult thing, and you have to like force yourself to get off the couch and be creative.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, that sounds like the sort of discipline that all writers need, and essentially you're that, as well as a recording artist. But ask any even successful writer, famous writer, how much effort it is to get up in the morning and sit down and start writing again. What's the purpose of that song? So you throw it out there, but that would be a song for people who's got a garage that's been hit by a plow guy, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that one isn't, you know, I call them my no joke songs, which is where I'm not just writing these, you know, novelty songs for specific topics. So even though it's kind of a quirky and unique topic, it's actually, you know, pretty heartfelt and more about my own experiences.
And maybe one that people can relate to, but more likely 600 songs inviting different named girls to the prom, 500 that are marriage proposals. That's got to be a sweet spot for you, right?
Yeah, well, I don't think, frankly, the average woman really wants to hear like a prefabricated, name-specific jingle when they're being proposed to. So it's not that popular, frankly, but it was a lot of work to just sing those songs over and over again.
Well, what is your sweet spot? What really rings the cash register for you on Spotify?
The potty humor songs are very popular because Kids search the word poop on Spotify.
So what are some of your song titles that use the word poop then?
Poop in My Fingernails is a real big hit. That's a good one. The poop song, The Diarrhea Bounce Back, I Poop With My Dog. I could go on.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't. And yet, if I was a kid or was looking for a laugh, that would be a fun song to play with my friends. Oh, get a load of this! Right? That works.
Yeah. I mean, some of those have millions and millions of just Spotify streams, so that's pretty nice.
Really? Do you have, like, what's your big cash cow? Maybe it's a category. Clearly it is. You just said that. But what is there a song that has made the most money for you that comes to mind, or a couple of examples?
Yeah. I think it's the poop song, where it's like a 2-minute song where I just sing the word poop over and over again. And that's my biggest hit.
You, in the article, it said, feel that any inspiration or idea deserves expression without thinking too much about how artistic it is or how great it is. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes. I think a lot of people, they get an idea and then they start working on it, then they doubt themselves, and then they have a half-finished project. And I think that leads to, like, your brain stops giving you new ideas because your brain's like, hey, I gave you an idea, you didn't do anything with it, and I'm not giving you any more until you finish that first thing.
Until you finish Poop Song. So do you play these for your wife or your kids? Does your family sit around and listen to your output every day? Or what's it like at home for you all?
Yeah, well, I mean, this room is not soundproof. And so, I mean, it's just the soundtrack of their lives is my voice coming through the walls all day long. And so, you know, I don't then go and force them to listen to the finished product. I mean, it's bad enough that they have to listen to me working on it.
I suppose, though, your mind must constantly be spinning, though, since you're putting songs on Spotify that you think people might search for. What are common experiences? Like, I went to vote today, or, hey, it's really raining and I'm sad, or I'm just thinking about things that are happening in the Chicago area. But is that kind of how your brain is working?
Yeah, I have like a notepad on my phone where I just jot down ideas, you know, for album concepts. I like to keep it like I have a whole album with like 80 songs about jobs, you know, and then an album with 75 songs about household items and so on and so forth.
75 songs about household items. So what would an example of that be?
Heating oil. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What kind of oil?
Heating oil.
Heating oil?
Yeah, heating oil. You know, like when they deliver the oil into your tank to heat your house.
Okay. So then that could be a song. And then
it is a song. Yeah, it is a song. It's a great one.
I think we just heard a little bit of it. Do you ever, though, like get the itch to really spend some time and craft a typical pop song, three and a half minutes, or a country song or folk song, but, you know, really layer it and make it a more aesthetically pleasing song? Is that something that kind of lingers in your brain?
Okay, well, first off, I mean, these silly songs are aesthetically pleasing and they're good, and most people wouldn't be able to do it in the short time that I'm able to do it.
Yeah.
In addition to that, like I said, I have multiple what I call no jokes albums, which are just plain old good, you know, good rock pop songs. And so, yeah, I do it. And yeah, the answer is yes.
Well, I hope I didn't insult you there, Matt, because I certainly didn't intend to.
Well, you know, I hear it a lot, the quality versus quantity thing. But what people don't seem to understand is, like, quantity begets quality. The more you do something, the better you get at it. And sometimes you have to work your way through something that's a little clunky and not necessarily great, but it's a stepping stone to something else that is.
Yeah, no, I get that. And I think you are maybe an example of that in more than one way to us. Maybe I'm not all about music, but I'm about something else. Don't doubt yourself. Keep plowing forward. I mean, that's kind of your MO there, isn't it?
100%, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Matt, congratulations. Delightful and really interesting. It's nice to meet you. Keep up the good work. Trust me, I will be searching your name for words and songs in the future. Matt Farley is the greatest songwriter ever with over 25,000 songs released. Search his name or some of his faux bands on Spotify, and there he will be. Nice to talk to you today, Matt. Thank you.
Have a good one. Thank you. Bye-bye.